بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا ربنا لك الحمد كما ينبغي لجلال وجهك ولعظيم سلطانك سبحانك لا نحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا وحبيبنا وقرة أعيننا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. So we continue with the inaugural address of Abu Bakr رضي الله عنه. So he begins, may Allah be pleased with him, by saying, أيها الناس قد وليت عليكم ولست بخيركم. O people, I've been put over you while I am not the best of you. And we mentioned and elaborated on the point of this being a manifestation of his humility and deputing his affair to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because the passive voice, قَدْ وُلِيتُ عَلَيْكُمْ, I've been placed over you, the actual door, the fa'il, is Allah subhanahu, who's not mentioned, is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah has placed me over you while I am not the best of you. And he indeed, arguably, was the best of them. And we mentioned some of his virtues previously. The point is, by humbling himself, by which one definition of tawadu, if you remember, humility is renouncing a station you could rightfully claim. So he could rightfully claim to be the best of them. But he renounced that in his saying, وَلَسْتُ بِخَيْرِكُمْ. And by humbling himself for the sake of Allah, what is the consequence of that? As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reminds us, وَمَا تَوَاضَعَ أَحَدٌ لِلَّهِ إِلَّا رَفْعَهُ اللَّهِ. No one humbles himself for the sake of Allah except that Allah elevates them. So one of the keys to the elevation of Abu Bakr's radiallahu anhu was his humility. And one of the keys to our elevation as individuals and as people will be our humility. We will not be able to elevate ourselves through arrogance, through attempting to impose ourselves on people, to force ourselves on people, but only through humility. And then he says, radiallahu anhu, فَإِنْ أَحْسَنْتُ فَعَيْنُونِي. So he says, if I do good, then assist me, help me to do better. So we started this particular subject last week. We continue by mentioning the prophetic definition of ihsan. When the angel Gabriel, or Jibril alayhi salam, peace be upon him, came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he asked him, فَأَخْبِرْنِي عَنِ الْإِحْسَانِ فَأَخْبِرْنِي عَنِ الْإِسْلَامِ فَأَخْبِرْنِي عَنِ الْإِيمَانِ فَأَخْبِرْنِي عَنِ الْإِحْسَانِ. So inform me about Islam, inform me about Iman or faith, inform me about Ihsan. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam defined this to Jibreel radiallahu anhu, and تَعْبُدَ اللَّهَ كَأَنَّكَ تَرَاهُ فَإِنْ لَمْ تَكُنْ تَرَاهُ فَإِنَّهُ يَرَاكَ. That you worship Allah as if you see Him. And if you fail to see Him, be mindful that He observes you. So, considering this definition, it's as if Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is saying that if I do my job as if I am consciously aware of Allah's observing me. So the ulama, they say the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he first mentioned the highest station, mushahada, and ta'bud Allah ka'annaka tarahu, that you worship Allah as if you see Him, ka'annaka tarahu. And then he mentions the lower station, muraqaba, fa'in lam takun tarahu fa'innahu yarak. And if you aren't able to attain to that station where you have, it's as if you see Allah before you, then be mindful that Allah observes you. So he mentions first the highest station, al-mushahada. And a conscious awareness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's presence. So they say al-hadratul ilahi, ilahiya. So a conscious awareness that one is present before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when we're praying, we're present before Allah. But to actualize that awareness as if we can see Allah, we won't see Allah. Laysa kamithlihi shay. So he's not seeing the way that we see these things. But he's seeing. But he says, as if you see him the way you see this. In other words, your awareness is so keen that it's as if it's like this, or like this, like this. كَأَنَّكَ تَرَاهُ. But if you fail to attain to that station, then be aware of his surveilling you at all times. وَإِن لَمْ تَكُنْ تَرَاهُ فَإِنَّهُ يَرَاكَ. And if you fail to see him, then be mindful that he observes you. And so Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, it's as if he's saying to the people, if I do my job in a way that reflects my attaining to the station of muraqabah, an awareness of Allah's observing me, then help me to do my job, a'inuni, push me further, so that I do my job as if I've attained to the station of mushahada. So, fa'a'imuni, assist me to do better. So what's better than muraqabah and mushahada? So what's better than an awareness of Allah's observing us is almost visualizing Allah. And I said, almost. كَأَنَّكَ تَرَاهُ. And so he's laying the foundation for a God-conscious society. Because his state is merely a reflection of their state. His state is a reflection of the state of the people. And in terms of rule, so when we complain about the rulers, what does Allah say? وَكَذَلِكَ نُوَلِّي بَعْضَ الظَّالِمِينَ بَعْضَ بِمَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ. Thus do we put some oppressors over others because of what they themselves have earned. كَمَّا تُوَلَّى عَلَيْكُمْ. As you govern or act in your sphere, in your sphere of relationships, in your family, amongst your relatives, in your circle of acquaintances, on your job, in your neighborhood, then you will be ruled in the same manner. You will be ruled in the same manner. So Abu Bakr is a leader for the people, and he's setting a tone for them, but he's also a reflection of them. And what they constitute collectively is a God-conscious society. So his saying this at the beginning, in Ahsantu fa'ainuni, is encouraging them to help him to continue to maintain a sterling example for them, but also to be people who he is reflection of in terms of his rule. And this is one of the foundations of Islamic governance and theory. And it's up to us to put it into practice. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in terms of God consciousness and society, so he mentions in the Quran in Surah Tawbah, a masjid usisa ala taqwa min awli yawm al haqq an taquma fihi rijalun yuhibbuna an yatatahharun wallahu yuhibbul mutahhirin. A masjid that's established upon taqwa, God consciousness, from the first day. So he's setting the foundation for his rule the first day he ascends the khilafah. He gives this speech the first day. فَإِنْ أَحْسَنْتُ فَعَيْنُونِي أَمَسْجِدٌ أُسِّسَ عَلَى التَّقْوَى مِنْ أَوْلِ يَوْمٍ أَحَقُّ أَنْ تَكُونَ فِيهِ. A masjid that's established on taqwa, as opposed to a masjid al-dirar that's established on impropriety, and that's established on falsehood. This masjid is more appropriate for you to stand in. That's established on taqwa. And so a political entity that's established on God consciousness that's established on the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's established on the humility before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is a political entity more fitting for you to establish yourself in. A masjidun usisa ala taqwa min awli yawmin ahaqqu an takum fi fihi rijalun yuhibbuna an yatatahharun. In it are people who love to purify themselves. Literally men, but women came to the masjid during the prophetic period. So, who love to purify themselves. يُحِبُّونَ أَن يَتَطَهَّرُونَ أَن يَتَطَهَّرُوا. They love to purify themselves. And so, the people who are righteous, they love to stand and establish themselves in a righteous place behind a righteous leader. So the imam of this masjid that's established on taqwa is the Amirul Muttaqeen. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the state that is established on taqwa is led by a person of taqwa. And in this case, Abu Bakr, and as we said, لو كان أو لو أن أولكم وآخركم وإنسكم وجنكم كانوا على أتقى قلب رجل واحد منكم ما زاد ذلك في ملك شيئا. If you all were men and jinn of you, the first of you and the last of you, the ins, the jinn and the humans of you, were as righteous as the heart of the right, most righteous man amongst you, and the scholars say that's Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, that would not add to my dominion in any way. But that muttaqi is the leader of the state that's established on God consciousness. And so this is the foundation of our affair. And this is a reflection of one of those meanings of ihsan rather. Another meaning, Imam al-Kafawi, he says, الإحسان هو فعل ما ينفع غيره بحيث يسير الغير حسنا به كإطعام الجائع أو يسير الفاعل به حسنا بنفسه. So he said, al-ihsan is doing that which benefits others in a way that other becomes good because of that, such as feeding a hungry person. So you feed a hungry person, that person becomes whole, that person becomes nourished. So he becomes good as a result of your act of ihsan. So ihsan is something that purifies and benefits. And then he says, aw yasiru al-fa'il بِفَعِلُ بِهِ حَسَنًا بِنَفْسِهِ, or the one undertaking the act becomes good in and of himself. So ihsan is something that benefits others and benefits oneself. And this is what we strive for. We strive to provide benefit to others, and in the process, we are benefited. So we give charity. It benefits others, but it benefits our soul. We feed the hungry, it benefits others, but it benefits our soul. We pay our zakat, it benefits others, it benefits our soul, because we fulfilled a religious obligation, and it benefits our wealth, it purifies our wealth. And so there's a reciprocal, there's mutuality in these actions. And this is our religion, it's a religion of mutuality, where there's mutual benefit. And this is captured by way of example. Ya ibadi, the hadith we just referenced. وَلَوْ أَنَّ أَوَّلَكُمْ أَخِيرَكُمْ. At the beginning of that hadith Qudsi related by Abi Dhar from the Prophet ﷺ, from his Lord, فِيمَا يَرْوِيهِ عَنْ رَبِّ عَزُّ وَجَالِ. He mentions, Ya ibadi, إِنِّي حَرَّمْتُ الظُّلْمَ عَلَى نَفْسِي وَجَعَلْتُهُ بَيْنَكُمْ مُحَرَّمًا فَلَا تَظَالَمُوا. Reciprocity, mutuality. O my servants, I've made oppression forbidden for myself, and I've forbidden it amongst you, therefore do not oppress one another. فَلَا تَظَالَمُوا. Don't oppress one another. Imam al-Shafi, when what does he say concerning Surah Asr? Now, if no other verse or chapter in the Quran had been revealed, then this one chapter would suffice the people. And what is at the end of this chapter, brief chapter? وَتَوَاسَوْا بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاسَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ. Mutuality. Counsel each other with truth, and counsel each other with patience. So it's not a one way. The person speaking or leading does all the counseling. No, وَتَوَاسَوْا بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاسَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ وَلَا تَظَالَمُوا. And this hadith, لَا تَظَالَمُوا, is something we can mention very quickly, slightly off topic, is a proof of the saying. Some says hadith, some says mawdu'a, but the meaning is sound. تَخَلَّقُوا بِأَخْلَاقِ اللَّهِ. Adorn yourself with the character traits of Allah. So try to be Rahim, but it'll be to the extent humanly possible. Try to be Alim, try to be knowledgeable, try to be merciful, try to be gentle, Latif. Try to be all of those characteristics that are amenable to having a human reflection. But this hadith is a proof of the soundness of the idea. So sometimes people will reject an idea because they say the hadith is weak. The hadith might be weak, but the idea might be perfectly valid. So leave the hadith. وَتَخَلَّقُوا بِأَخْلَاقِ اللَّهِ. What does this hadith, which is a sound hadith, say? يَا عِبَادِي إِنِّي حَرَّمْتُ الظُّلْمَ عَلَى نَفْسِي. So, O my servants, I have this characteristic that I do not oppress. Therefore, you adopt this characteristic. فَلَا تَظَالَمُوا أَنْتُمْ. يَا عِبَادِي إِنِّي حَرَّمْتُ الظُّلْمَ عَلَى نَفْسِي وَجَعَلْتُهُ بَيْنَكُمْ مُحَرَّمًا فَلَا تَظَالَمُوا. So this is a proof of the soundness of the idea. So we shouldn't get tripped up on the wording. Is that wording in a particular hadith? Is the idea conveyed by the word, by the wording, supported by the teachings of the religion? And so this idea is supported. This is one of the proofs of that, this hadith that we reference. But in any case, so Allah says, let Allah, don't oppress one another. Don't counsel each other. So the religion, وَتَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْبِرِّ وَالتَّقْوَى. Cooperate with each other in goodness, righteousness, and piety. So our religion involves a large degree of mutuality. And in the context of ruling and governance, when that mutuality breaks down, the system collapses. And that's what we're seeing in our system nowadays, here in this country. This mutuality and the bond of mutual service and mutual benefit between the rulers and the ruled is breaking down. And so you see a devolution from what, for all practical purposes, was an aristocracy, and with a veneer of popular rule, devolving into an oligarchy. So Aristotle mentioned that this is one of the consequences that happens when an aristocracy becomes corrupt. A monarchy, one of its ideal types of government, becomes corrupt, it devolves into tyranny. Aristocracy, one of his ideal forms of government, becomes corrupted, it devolves into oligarchy. And so these are states to be warned. And so the warning that to be avoided, rather, because they lead to a disservice to the people at large. And all of them are based on, they're predicated on, enlightened leadership. So the monarch is an enlightened leader that has the well-being of the masses of the people at heart. And aristocracy is, and so that's an individual monarch, is a group, relatively small group, of enlightened individuals who have the well-being of the most of the people at heart. And then the demos, or a popular rule, the majority of people have the interest of the wealthy individuals at heart. When they tyrannize the wealthy, then they devolve what he called into a democracy. Interesting. As one of the undesirable forms of government. Where the masses of people, they become a mob that doesn't, the aristocracy, the wealthy, have the interest of the poor at heart. And the demos, the masses of people, have the interest of the wealthy at heart. And they consider that. And when that breaks down, the society becomes dysfunctional. At each of those levels, the monarch has the interest of the people, the subjects, at heart. And considers their interest. And is willing to compromise his or her interest. So when that doesn't happen, the system becomes dysfunctional. So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is clearly expressing his concern for the interest of the people and telling them it's not about me. This political arrangement we're entering into is not about me. It's about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it's about our servitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And a function of my serving Allah is serving you, the people. Radiallahu anhu. So based on this definition that Imam al-Kathawi gives, so ihsan is doing that which benefits others in such a way that the other becomes good because of that, such as feeding a hungry person, or the actor himself or herself becomes good in and of themselves. So others benefit and the actor also benefits because of that. So ihsan is part of a conscious and judicious effort to serve others and to improve the lot of others. And in the process, as we said, the actor himself or herself will be improved. So governance is not an end, it's a means towards a higher end. And when it becomes an end, the political system becomes dysfunctional. Now government is an end for corporate plunder of public treasury. That's by and large. Public plunder of public charity. Public wealth. So we pay our taxes to the government. The government turns around, and increasingly, especially at the federal level, less true at the local or state level, gives our money to the wealthy. To bail out Wall Street, corporate money. I mean public money, rather. Our tax dollars. To bail out who? The wealthy. And the corporate interest. We pay tax dollars. The government buys billions of dollars worth of weapons. Increasingly to just kill and bomb Muslims. With great hypocrisy and mendacity. You know what mendacity means, young man? That's a fancy way to say lying. You know what lying is, right? Mendacity is a big word to say lying. Now you know what mendacity means, right? What does mendacity mean?
Lying.
Allah Akbar. Pass with flying colors. Oh, John Kerry, he goes to Saudi Arabia. We want to stop the violence in Yemen. They want to stop the violence in Yemen. He could stop the violence in Yemen without even going to Yemen. A large part of it. By doing what? Stop selling bombs to Saudi Arabia. So what good is it going, you know, all the talk and fluff and fanfare and pictures and newspaper articles about wanting to stop the violence, and you don't talk about the billions of dollars in weapons, $60 billion weapon deal recently concluded? What good is that? What is that? It's hypocrisy. That's what it is. And so Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he's saying, I'm being straight with you. For this thing to work, I have to do my part, and you have to do your part. For this thing to work, I have to look beyond this world. And any benefits I might derive from this office are worldly benefits that I have to look beyond. I have to look beyond this towards Allah. And you have to look beyond it yourself. And you have to, one way is by helping me to do better and helping me to stay focused on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So literally, if we take the first definition, we mentioned the prophetic one, and تَعْبُدْ اللَّهِ كَأَنَّكَ تَرَاهُ. As we said, فَإِنْ أَحْسَنْتُ فَأَعِينُونِي فِي إِحْسَانِي فِي إِحْسَانِ فَأَعِينُونِ فَإِنْ أَحْسَنْتُ فَأَعِينُونِي فِي إِحْسَانِي. Help my ihsan to be better. Help me to move from muraqaba to mushahada. Help me to move into a situation where I can, on the second definition we mentioned, that of Imam Kafi, I can benefit more people. Help me to be in a situation where I can become a better leader myself, and more conscious and more pious. And so these are all meanings that are implied in what he's saying, radiallahu anhu. To achieve this, we get into another meaning and another manifestation of ihsan. And that level involves three things. One is the ability to spend. That's a foundation of governance. Right now, the wealthy want tax breaks. They don't want to spend. You know, from FDR and the FDR administration through the 1960s. So we're talking a period of from the 40s, 50s, 60s, over 30 years. Anyone know what the wealth tax was? The millionaire tax? What was the tax on every dollar over $1 million? Anyone know? It varied from 96 to 90%. Every dollar you made over $1 million, 90 cents went to the government. To do what during that time? What happened during that time? To build the finest network of public schools in the country. Public money built UC Berkeley. The whole UC, still UC Berkeley, Santa Cruz, UCLA, UC San Diego, UC San Diego. It built the state system. California is one example. This is public money, tax dollars. It built the highways, the bridges. It financed the Peace Corps, USAID. That was all public money. What is it today? And what are they trying to bring it down to? Now it's in the 30s, I think, 36%. 36 cents from every dollar. And falling rapidly. Why? Because the people think it's their money, it's their wealth. Where our philosophy is totally different. That it's Allah's wealth. وَآتُوهُمْ وَآتُوهُمْ مِمَّنِ الَّذِي آتَاكُمْ. Give them from the wealth of Allah He's given you. And if anyone's deceived in the thinking it's theirs, they should listen to Dawood Wansby and his friends.
You can't take it with you when you go. Oh no.
You guys know you're listening to that. Come on, it's Dawood Wansby. It's halal. You can't take it with you when you go. As soon as you die, someone else is going to get your wealth. Usually before you even die. As soon as one foot is in the grave, someone else has your wealth. Someone else has your wealth. يقول ابن آدم مالي مالي. This child of Adam says, my wealth, my wealth. Yani, we could, that's yani, توكيد لفظي. مالي مالي, my wealth, my wealth. And make it مبتدا خبر. يقول ابن آدم مالي ما ليس لي. My wealth is not my wealth. It's the wealth of Allah. لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. Some people say, render unto Caesar that which is Caesar, and render unto God that which is God. What do we say? Caesar and that which is for Caesar belongs to God. May Allah give us understanding. مَنْ يُرِدِ اللَّهُ بِهِ خَيْرًا يُفَكِّهُ فِي الدِّينِ. The one Allah wants good for, He gives him or her a sound understanding of the religion. So first, people have to spin. Imam Ali radiallahu anhu said that the affairs of the people will be in order. One thing he mentions, as long as the wealthy continue to spend their wealth for the benefit of the poor. Because the wealth is made on the backs of the poor. You say, how did you get wealthy? Well, I got wealthy through my hard work. How did you work? I established 20 factories. Who worked in your factories? You? You worked in all 20 factories? Like, he's like the thing that draws the things on the videos. 5 million people. He's like running from one factory to another. Super speed work. You're not. It's all those poor people working in the factory for a minimum wage. That's how you got wealthy. They produce the wealth. The wealth is, Allah created the circumstances for the wealth they produce to end up in your hands. So don't deceive yourself into thinking it's your wealth. Madi, madi, naysali. It's not yours, it's Allah's. He's entrusted you with it as a test. What are you going to do with it? So the wealthy have to spend. And people have to restrain their anger. Now we have angry people, right? They're supporting Donald Trump. They're mad. Our country is... Make America great again. Interesting statement. But they're mad. They're angry. They want to take their country back from home, as if the Russians took it over, right? That's dog whistle politics. Why do they call it dog whistle politics? So you blow the dog whistle, only the dog can hear it and responds. The dog knows there's a whistle, there's a message. You say, take the country back. Got it. So people really take it back from the darkies. They hear the message. Anyway. I don't want to get in trouble. He's live streaming this. Moving right along. So the wealthy have to spend their wealth, or else the system will collapse. People have to restrain their anger. People are angry. Black folks are angry. White folks are angry. Latinos are angry. Everybody's angry. But if everyone's angry, people are going to act out of anger. And if people act out of anger, there's not going to be intelligent leadership, and there won't be an intelligent populace. Because anger is the greatest eradicator of intellect. So when the Prophet ﷺ says, "La taghdab," don't become angry, meaning don't act in a state of anger. Doesn't mean don't become angry. If someone does something to make you mad, you should get angry. If you don't, you're not human. You're some kind of zombie. But don't act in a state of anger. Don't act out of your anger. Always act on the basis of your intellect. Always act on the basis of your intellect, guided by the parameters of the divine law. So that's what that talk about. Don't act out of anger. And then the third, people have to have the ability to forgive. One reason everyone's so mad, people can't forgive each other. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentions, and so these are manifestations of ihsan. So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, فَإِنْ أَحْسَنْتُ So if I create a situation where the wealthy are willing to spend, the zakat is being paid. Right? One of the, when the tribes didn't refuse to pay the zakat, Omar was, who was a tough guy, is wavering, should we fight them? Abu Bakr said, we'll fight them if they withhold one goat that they used to give to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So, because they will continue to spend their wealth. They will continue to spend their wealth. And restraining anger. And then pardoning people. We have to forgive. If we can't forgive, we'll always be angry. At a certain point, we have to let things go. And put our trust in Allah. Allah will rectify the situation. Anyone knows, anyone who's been married and stayed married successfully knows that sometimes you just have to let it go. If you stay angry with each other, you're not going to have a marriage. Okay, you can do that for 5 minutes because he, she really messed up. Big time. So, but if you do that for 5 days, I'm mad at you and I'm never going to forgive you. You know, just go see the qadi, get the divorce, it's all over. In any relationship, marriage, friendships, you can't stay angry. The workplace, the boss did something and you really torqued off. You can't stay angry forever. The boss can't stay angry forever. There no work's going to get done. Everyone's going to get fired. There won't be anyone left to work. People have to let it go. And so Allah Ta'ala says, وَسَارِعُوا إِلَى مَغْفِرَةٍ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ وَجَنَّةٍ عَرْضُهَا السَّمَاوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضُ أُعِدَّتْ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ الَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ فِي السَّرَّاءِ وَالضَّرَّاءِ وَالْكَاظِمِينَ الْغَيْظَ وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. These are manifestations of His ihsan. Hasten to forgiveness from your Lord and a paradise whose expanse, a paradise, which means what? There's more than one. النَّكِرَ تُفِيد التَّعَدُّد. The indefinite, وَجَنَّةٍ. If he said, وَالْجَنَّةِ, خَلَاص. The Jannah, that's the only one. وَجَنَّةٍ, a paradise, from amongst many paradises. جَنَّةُ Adin, جَنَّةُ الْمَأْوَى, جَنَّةُ Naim, جَنَّةُ الْفِرْدَوْسِ. Whose one of them is more expansive than the expanse of the heavens and the earth. How expansive is that? What's your name, young man?
Ibrahim.
Ibrahim, can you imagine all the stars, like a bazillion, gazillion stars, and some of them are 500 billion light years away? You know how fast light is? How fast? Did you know? I'll tell you. Don't tell anybody. 186,000 miles a second. Can you imagine? Light can go bam! 186,000 miles a second. Then how many seconds are in a day? And how many days are in a week? And how many weeks are in a month? And how many months are in a year? And then how many years are in 500 billion years? And the star is that far. And one of those jannas is more expansive and wider than all of that. And that's only one of them. Subhanallah. Plenty of room for everybody. But a lot of people, they only want them and their friends in. You mubtadi'een, you guys don't get in. Just me and my friends. The guys and people who see Islam the way I see it, we get in. What are you going to do with all that space? There's like only 10 of you guys. Yallah, everybody. من قال لا إله إلا الله دخل الجنة. Just leave it simple. Whoever says لا إله إلا الله went to paradise. خلاص, leave it like that. لا إله إلا الله. أُعِدَّتْ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. That has been prepared for those who are conscious and aware of Allah. الَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ فِي السَّرَّاءِ وَالضَّرَاءِ. Those who spend when it's easy and when it's difficult. So, وَالَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ. People have to spend. We have to spend. You get laid off, keep spending, just spend less. You had your job, you gave $100 here and $50 there and $300 here. Just reduce it. So the $100 reduce to 10, 50 reduce to 5. But keep spending. That's who we are. Those are the muttaqin. وَعِدَّةُ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ الَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ فِي السَّرَّاءِ. When it's easy, they got the job, got the promotion. وَالضَّرَّاءِ, they got laid off. Now they're collecting unemployment, significantly less. But they keep spending. That's their righteousness doesn't stop. Whether we have a job or don't have a job. وَالْكَاظِمِينَ الْغَيْظَ. And they suppress their anger. They suppress their anger. وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ. And they pardon people. They forgive people. Don't worry about it. Brothers and sisters, life is too short to hold grudges. It's too short. We have better things to do. Life is too short to just be mad at people all the time. We have better and more constructive things to do. Life is too short to respond to pettiness, petty slights and offenses. We have better things to do with our time and with our life than to just be bogged down in pettiness, like it's weighing us down. Just cast it off and trust in Allah. Wallahu yuhibbu al-muhsinin. And so these are the muhsinin that have been described. Wallahu yuhibbu. And not only are they the muhsinin, they're the people Allah loves. وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. They're the people Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves. مَنْ هِلَّ اللَّهُ. And to be loved by Allah, it's one thing to love Allah, and that's a great maqam. But to be loved by Allah, subhanAllah, that is a very special station. Because why? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala moves you. إِنَّ وَلِيَّ اللَّهُ الَّذِي نَزَّلَ الْكِتَابَ وَيَتَوَلَّى الصَّالِحِينَ. Allah undertakes the affair of the righteous. وَإِذَا أَحْبَبْتُهُ. So Allah says, Hadith Qudsi, and if I love him, فَقُمْتُ سَمْعَهُ الَّذِي يَسْمَعُ بِي وَبَصَرُهُ الَّتِي يُبْصِرُ بِي وَيَدُهُ الَّتِي يَبْتِشُ بِهَا وَرِجْلُهُ الَّتِي يَمْشِي بِهَا. وَلَئِنْ سَأَلَنِي لَأُعْطِيَنَّ. And if in that state of love, the servant asks anything for me, I would grant it. وَلَئِنْ اسْتَعَاذَنِي لَأُعِيذَنَّ. And if the servant in that state were to seek my protection, I will protect him. I will protect her. That's what we should be spending our time aspiring to. The love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so what does Allah say? Who gets His love amongst others? الَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ فِي السَّرَّاءِ وَالضَّرَّاءِ وَالْكَاظِمِينَ الْغَيْظَ وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. So we should be trying to be the people of ihsan. This is what Abu Bakr said. I want to be amongst the people of ihsan because I want the love of Allah. I want the love of Allah, and if Allah loves me, we're going to be alright. If Allah loves me, this political entity we're establishing is going to be alright. It's going to be alright. And if Allah loves us, brothers and sisters, we're going to be alright. It could be Islamophobia, and it could be Islamophilia. We're going to be alright, folks. Amen. Wallahu yuhibbu al-muhsinin. So this is what Abu Bakr is saying. So constantly spending one's wealth for those less fortunate, controlling one's anger. Why? Because that damages others. And the muhsin, we go back to Imam Kathawi, is one who provides benefit to others. Who provides benefit to others. And forgiving people, which also benefits them in this world, and more importantly, it benefits them in the next. We forgive them, they don't have to carry the burden of that offense, which might be sin, a sinful offense, with them into the next world, because we've forgiven them. وَعَفِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ. So this is, and so when Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, when he says فَإِنْ أَحْسَنْتُ, this is the first part of his fulfillment of one of the Quranic foundations of Islamic rule. So beginning in the Abbasid period, the Qutaba, who either was the Khalifa in Baghdad or the Khalifa's representatives in the cities throughout the realm, at the end of the khutbah they started saying, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُ بِالْعَدْلِ وَالْإِحْسَانِ وَيُتَاءِ ذِي الْقُرْبَى وَيَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنكَرِ وَالْبَغْيِ يَعِظُكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَذَكَّرُونَ. So al-adl wal-ihsan. And so why were they saying that? They were reminding themselves and the people, justice and goodness are the two foundations of proper sound Islamic rule. And Allah ya'muru bil-adli wal-ihsan وَيُتَاءِ ذِي الْقُرْبَى, and giving to the relative. وَيَهْنَ عَلِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَمُنكَرِ الْبَغْيِ, and he forbids indecency and inappropriate things and tyranny. He admonishes you, and that perhaps you will be reminded. يَعِذُكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَذَكَّرُونَ. So when Abu Bakr says, وَإِنْ أَحْسَنْتُ فَأَعِينُونِ فَإِنْ أَحْسَنْتُ فَأَعِينُونِ الْإِحْسَانِ, and then when he subsequently says, we'll get to in subsequent weeks inshallah, الضعيفُ فيكم قويٌ عندي حتى آخذ له حقا. This is al-adl. This is justice. So, in this inaugural address, he's articulating the foundations of the Quranic model of rule. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُ بِالْعَدْلِ وَالْإِحْسَانِ. So Allah commands you with justice and with goodness. And so Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is articulating that. Now we'll conclude, because I mean you could go on and on just on this subject, but we have the rest of the address to get to. So we just want to mention one more thing about ihsan. Where Ibn Qayyim Jawziyah, he says, rahimahullah, he says al ihsan fil waqt. So he mentions the various manifestations of ihsan. One that he mentions is al-ihsan fil waqt, being good with your time. He said, وَهُوَ أَلَّا تُزَايِلَ الْمُشَاهَدَةَ أَبَدًا وَلَا تَخْلِطَ بِهِمَّتِكَ أَحَدًا. He said, ihsan in your time is that you don't remove yourself from the state of existing as if you see Allah ever. So لَا تُزَايِلَ الْمُشَاهَدَةَ أَبَدًا, and that you don't mix up anyone in terms of what you aspire for, anyone, with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That your aspiration is Allah, and you're living this life to attain, to use everything in this life as a means to attain the pleasure of Allah, and to attain the Jannah, the paradise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So الإحسان في الوقت وهو ألا تزايل المشاهدة أبدا ولا تخلط فيها بهمتك أحدا. You don't leave the state of existing as if you see Allah. And why is that important? Because if we live in that state as if Allah is right there with us, is right there with us. And if we live in that state, sin becomes extremely difficult. Because we want to sin in front of our grandmother. Right? Grandma's right there. And someone gave you some not so near beer. You wouldn't touch it, it would just sit there. And if you thought about it, look over at your grandmother and she's got her sopans. Look away, get your subha out, Even if you never use it.
That's
grandma. She doesn't control Jannah. She doesn't control Nar. She doesn't control Adab al-Qabr. So what about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? If we have mushahada, hadha mushahada, or hadhi mushahadatu al-jadda, wa amma mushahadati Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, kayfa na'ish, or kayfa natasarraf. Subhanallah, la ilaha illallah. So he says, and you don't mix up with your in your in terms of your aspiration, what you are aspiring for. قُلِ اللَّهِ ثُمَّ ذَرْهُمْ فِي قَلْدِهِمْ يَلْعَبُونَ. Say Allah, and then leave them launching into their empty play and amusement. We don't have time. لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ. And then he says very quickly, that our time is rapidly expiring. ثُمَّ قَالَ. Then he said, وَإِنْ أَسَدْتُ فَقَوِّمُونِ. So the only thing we'll say about this, the meaning is pretty obvious. If I do wrong, straighten me out. This is a perfect example of Abu Bakr's ihsan. Because we said, ihsan is provide the greatest benefit one can provide to the people. And one of the greatest benefits we can provide is admitting our faults and inviting people to correct them. And because Imam Kafi said, in providing benefits to others, and the fa'il himself, the actor himself or herself, is also benefited thereby. And so, by encouraging people to correct our faults, we're benefited. Because we don't carry those faults with us. So we encourage people to correct them. And why is this ihsan? كُلُّ بَنِي آدَمْ قَطَّعٌ وَخَيْرُ الْقَطَّعِينَ التَّوَّابُونَ. So the khayr, the ahsan, all of the children of Adam are sinful. And the best of the sinners are those best of those who sincerely repent from their sins. And so when we err, and then Abu Bakr, his mistakes in judgment, as the Prophet it would be considered with him a sin. So they're at a higher level. And so he's saying essentially, if I err, if I make a mistake, qata, wa kullu bani adam qata, wa khayru qata'ina at-tawwabun. Straighten me out. Remind me. Point out my mistakes to me. And that serves them, because why? He doesn't try to rule them on the basis of mistaken judgment, on the basis of wrongful, oppressive policies. And it benefits him. Why? Because he doesn't persist in those errors himself. So, may Allah give us tawfiq. May Allah give us, bless us with to be people who deserve leaders like that. To be people who deserve leaders like that. So we'll stop here. Any questions, comments, and Hussein? Yes, sir.
So when we look at the Khulafa al-Rashidun, we see that the most pious were placed into leadership. And then we go like a little further down in history and we see like Hussein radiallahu anh, who was recognized as the pious, fighting for leadership, not in terms like not wanting leadership, but in terms of upholding the Sunnah. And then later on we see that the ulama were
Who did Hussein fight for leadership?
Well, not fighting for, fighting against oppressors.
Okay.
Right. And then later we see that the ulama were told not even to smile at leadership. So what kind of caused the change from the most pious being placed above us to them not even recognizing or not even giving leadership any recognition?
When the leadership became corrupt and tyrannical, what was discouraged was to seek to be validated by those tyrants. And not necessarily to avoid serving the people. And so when they saw the system was corrupt, they made a conscious decision to serve the people at the grassroots level and to leave the leaders as long as they implemented the basic or established the basic foundations of an Islamic rule.
So the solution would be in fixing the system?
The solution would be in, as we said, fixing ourselves. And إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِقَوْمٍ حَتَّى يُغَيِّرُوا مَا بِأَنفُسِهِمْ كَمَا وَكَذَلِكَ نُوَلِّي بَعْضَ الظَّالِمِينَ بَعْضًا بِمَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ. So Allah doesn't change the condition of the people until they change that which is with themselves. So it would be extremely unjust and extremely disingenuous of our part to claim that we want Abu Bakr to rule over us, but we want to be a bunch of brigands and ruffians. And so if we want the likes of Abu Bakr to rule over us, then we should strive to become like the people who gave the bay'ah to Abu Bakr, a righteous generation of people. And so thus do we place some oppressors over others because of what those others themselves had earned. مَكَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ هُمْ. So we should aspire to improve ourselves, and then pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us with a political order and political leadership that reflects the virtue that we might possess. Let's see if the sisters have any questions or comments. And the sisters? No? Okay. Yes.
Where do you differentiate the line between where أَحْسِبَ النَّاسُ أَن يُتْرَكُوا أَن يَقُولَ آمَنَّا وَهُمْ لَا يُفْتَنُونَ. Like, you're going to be tested, right? But at the same time, if you have a tired ruler over you and you're trying your best, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I'm going to test you. And
that's part of the test. That's part of the test. Because, and if we pass the test, inshallah, in times, then those rulers will, the tyrants will be gone. And so, وَجَعَلْنَا مِنْهُمْ أَئِمَّتَيْنْ يَهْدُونَ بِأَمْرِنَا لَمَّا صَبَرُوا وَكَانُوا بِآيَاتِنَا يُقِنُونَ. So they persevered through those tests. And in time, those leaders were just. But both the leaders and the followers had to persevere until they came into alignment. Allahu waliyyu tawfiq. And Allah possesses all providence and leads to good. So one more question, comment? Possibly no more? Yes? No? Yes. Fadhal.
So you were saying about this visualization. Today we work with pixels and increasing the visualization so our eyes see it. How did they practice to increase that visualization?
That visualization is in the heart. It's not with the vision of the eye, the basar. It's with the vision of the heart, the basir. And so how did they increase their pixelation? By remembering Allah, by reciting the book of Allah and the reaches of the night and day, by standing in prayer at night when the people are asleep, by assisting the poor, and by doing all of those things that purify and rarefy the human heart and the human soul. And so the pixelation becomes very clear. And not only with respect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at that spiritual level, but also in terms of being shown through our hearts things in this world. اتَّقِ فَرَاسَةَ الْمُؤْمِنِ فَإِنَّهُ يَنْظُرُ بِنُورِ اللَّهِ. Beware of this inner vision that a believer that might possess, because verily he or she sees with the light of Allah. Umar is on the minbar in Medina, Ya Sariyat al-Jabal, and he's warning a troop that's almost 1,000 miles away on the frontier of Iraq against an ambush. So Allah showed him in his heart. And so that pixelation can become extremely refined, but it's through the vision of the heart, the basira, and not the vision of the eye. So we'll stop there. May Allah give everyone tawfiq. May Allah give tawfiq. Allah bless our young brother Ibrahim right there. Let's give it up for Ibrahim. Allah, what a God. Allah, front and center to him. That's where the good students sit. I'm not implying the bad. Some good students sit in the back, but the young good students, they sit front and center. Brother Ibrahim, Allah bless you. Alhamdulillah, wa sallallahu ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما وعملا متقبلا خالصا لوجهك الكريم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون والسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا